Hey everyone, welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jerry.
And welcome, episode 166. We are back from NRG Chicago. Had an absolute blast. It was great seeing everyone out there. But we're here to talk about our experience there and then get into preparing for SCG Con Baltimore. But first, as always, Jerry, how have you been? And what have you been up to?
Nothing out of the ordinary. Just doing the usual, playing the World of Warcraft and testing for getting ready to play the modern seat in our Baltimore team event.
Oh, nice, nice. Yep. Yeah, it's nice having teams finally like settled out. I think that's one of the hardest things when it comes to these team events. It's just who's going to play where, because sometimes people will get caught up. Oh, I want to set this seat or I want to play this deck. And we've talked about it before. When it comes to a team event, you really have to take the feedback from everybody else of, is that really the best deck to play? Yes or no.
Right. But then you have the other issue of Legacy is a seat. You play with what you have.
Yes.
So that's a tough one there, but we made out like a bandit. We got the best mono green deck in the format on our team, so that's great.
That is true, yes. Chris will be out there. Sadly, he couldn't make it to Chicago, but he will be there, and he'll be playing Elves on our other team because Team Snapcast, we're going to have two teams here at Baltimore, which is going to be fantastic. Team number two is going to have Selesnya Depths in the Legacy seat. It might not be Selesnya. Soltide Depths. There we go.
Oh, there Soltide go. Rainbow yeah. Depths.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now you are doing that thing.
Yep.
You're playing interaction with, you get copies of cards like Flusterstorm, you get Pernicious Deed, stuff like that.
Yes. Yep. And we do have all of that in there. So, yeah, that was my mistake, misspoke there. Selesnya Reclaimer is what actually won the NRG Legacy 5K over the weekend. So that's why I had Selesnya stuck in my mind.
But that'd be a deck I would play if he had it.
Yep. Sadly, we don't. All right, but let's get into some results here from NRG. We have the Modern main event won by Zach Durbin playing, you guessed it, Four Color Elementals, Yurion package. Ended up beating Amulet Titan in the finals.
That last match, that was a sad ending and just a... It was a... I mean, I'm happy for the guy. But watching the game go the way it did, I'm like, this is just the culmination of all the issues of Modern. He had the Renin 6 Besiege You lock, what was it again? He had a Force of Vigor in his hand for any Karn shenanigans.
Nope, it is what it be when it comes to Modern right now. He was able to get the lock, like you were saying, and just keep Amulet off their lands. But Amulet has seen a lot of really good changes here recently, and we're going to talk about those here in a little bit.
I was going to mention the last play he made before the game got locked is he resolved a Cultivator Colossus. He did
really?
That thing. Yeah, he did that thing on camera. Still lost.
Oof. That's a shame. All right, so the rest of the top eight here, we had another four-color Elementals deck. We had good old Izzet Murktide, blue-white control, actual blue-white control here. We had another Amulet Titan, another Murktide, and another Yawgmoth.
To help y'all out with the control deck, the blue-white control with Kahira, it was playing three main deck Chalice of the Void, so this deck was dedicating hate to the Cascade Piles.
But definitely a very diverse top eight. One thing I do like is it was run on MTG Melee, and you can get a beautiful archetype breakdown, but one thing I absolutely hate about it is you can make your deck archetype be whatever you want. It doesn't matter. If you're just feeling cheeky... Or I'm going to go ahead and say it. You want to be an asshole and name your deck something that it's not. It's just going to mess with the numbers here.
I'm going to play Izzet Goblins.
Yeah. Or I'm going to play five color zombies and it's actually five color, you know, it's like elementals. Like it does not help us go through and see what the meta looks like.
I'm going to play four color eight rack. Yeah, people trying to be funny. Not very funny.
But definitely though, just coming through the... absolute powerhouse, most represented deck here was four color Yurion. And one thing too, I like how it shows like match win percentages as well. For those that actually registered it under that name, the deck had about a 57% win rate to include obviously winning it all. Murktide came in second with a win rate overall of about 55.5%.
That is ridiculous. The most represented decks of the tournament were obviously 80 card Yurion.
Yep.
Is it Murktide? Burn, which was overrepresented and severely underperformed. Hammer Time, which was fine. Blue Living End, very represented, severely underperformed. Amulet, obviously, there was the guy who finished second place, but it performed relatively well. What's the numbers on Amulet?
Amulet had 55.7% across 12 decks.
Yeah, if you played Amulet, you were probably fine.
Yeah.
Crashing Footfalls is another Cascade deck that got punished for the weekend. Its best placement was 29th, and no one else finished top 64 with the deck. Golgari Yawgmoth to round out the most played decks at the tournament, and Golgari Yawgmoth overperformed?
Golgari Yawgmoth did really well, finishing with a 60% match win rate among some of the top, I would say, that weren't like one of decks.
Right. Because that is it is known as a represented deck in this metagame breakdown. Yeah. But 60% with 9 players playing, that's pretty good still. I'm not gonna turn that down.
No, because then, because you can go through and see, and again, this goes with the whole naming convention being whatever you want. There's a 5-color Yawgmoth in here, a Jund Yawgmoth. I get it, a mono blue Yawgmoth. Like, people are just picking stuff because they can. I wish there was something that could be done to help kind of like get this crumpled down or get it more like better organized, if you will.
Right, it does skew numbers unfavorably.
Yeah, it's just the only problem is with MTG Melee, it's a pretty hands-off app. I don't know how much behind the scenes like tournament organizers or anybody else like that can go through. And it would be a little bit of work, right, to comb through. We had, 271 decks, I believe it was, for just this modern event, but to make sure that the naming convention is actually correct for the deck that they're playing. All right, so one of the innovations that we saw over the weekend is with Amulet Titan. There have been some lists that have been saying no to the Cultivator Colossus and actually playing a card that used to wreak havoc a while back. And that card is Hydroid Krasis. Jerry, what do you got for Hydroid Krasis for us?
So green and blue for an X for a Hydra Jellyfish?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. When you cast this spell, you gain X life and draw X cards where X is equal to half of what you paid into it. And it comes into play with X +1/+1 counters.
Yep.
With flying and trample.
Yes.
Not bad for memory.
Yeah.
You did that for memory.
Yeah, no, you crushed it. Yeah, you gain half X life and draw half X cards rounded down. That's really it. It's just you round down on the halves.
So the big thing here is that Hydroid Krasis versus, because the original answer for the control piles that you were using years ago was Dragonlord Dramaka, where 4/6/6 with lifelink, flying, and trample, and your opponent can't cast spells on your turn. Seems great. Got a key number of 6 toughness, so just dies to Unholy Heat. So you tap out for your Dragonlord past turn, they go Unholy Heat, and now you're just like, oh, back to square one.
Yep.
So we go with the Hydroid Krasis here, make an absurd amount of mana, draw an absurd amount of cards, gain some life back. Not that that's particularly relevant in these matchups, but being able to draw 4 or 5 cards is enough to put yourself way ahead. Much better than Cultivator Colossus here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because the ability for your decks to be able to just churn out a bunch of mana and make a very beefy Hydroid Krasis. And not only that, but the gaining of life and also the drawing of cards is absolutely stellar for a deck like Amulet, where you have a lot of utility cards or you have a lot of cards that help kind of build upon, and then your actual payoff cards, I would say, are kind of minimal. So your ability to draw extra cards and be able to continue to just have back-to-back threats like that is incredibly beneficial, especially when you're going up against decks like Murktide or 4-color, which can kind of possibly deal with, you know, your threat. Now you have to wait a couple of turns possibly to draw another one.
Next, I guess I'll talk about the big underperformer in the room. Anyone playing any Cascade?
Yes.
This was not the weekend to be casting Violent Outbursts. Like I mentioned before, Rhinos had one person in the top 64 at 29th. Living End had a 48th, 53rd, and 54th, and a 63rd place finish. And 63rd was 5-4. And then Glimpse Combo, which a couple of people I know might have been hyping this deck, went around at best finishing 104th with a 4-5 record. So part of the issue was, a lot of people were packing Fluster Storms this week, and I mean a lot of them. I played against a Murktide player who packed in 4 Fluster Storms. He didn't need any of them, because I also went, Living End does have a brick rate. You do brick. And, you know, a mulligan to five with two lands and three endurance, any third land will get you there, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
But that being as it said, four copies of Flusterstorm in a lot of these decks right now is rude. I played against an Affinity player. It just blue-white Affinity. What white was already kind of like, I was questioning it because most of these are mono-blue, but he was playing main deck Teferi Time Raveler.
Ooh.
So I'm like, oh, I guess I'm just not beating you. And then at the end of the day, I ran into the one Hardened Scales player in the room. And anyone who's ever played Living End knows that Arcbound Ravager is an auto loss. We accept that.
Yep.
So I was happy. It was nice to see the deck again, but then I saw the Arcbound Ravager and I was like, I guess this is a subtlety target. So I stole game one because I played the two main deck subtleties. But then after that, it's just every time he resolved the Ravager, I couldn't amass a big enough graveyard quick enough to beat anything he could put back on the battlefield.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, it was actually surprising to see the lack of Cascade decks in the top eight just because of how well they've performed recently. It could be that, you know, everyone came out just banking on Cascade decks being up there. Like you said, prepping with the main deck Teferi Time Raveler. How do you prep for that? Like, how do you try to make that call of, oh, I need to make sure I can take care of a main deck Teferi Time Raveler?
Well, I actually did prep for Teferi Time Raveler, but I didn't mulligan to it against Affinity.
Gotcha.
It's the shell that the card was in. Like, I'm not... Why on God's green earth are you playing Teferi Time Raveler in your artifact aggro deck? And then this is probably why he was in tables, by the way, alongside with me.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to play around that. No way. Like, I know what you're going to play. You're going to board in Flusterstorm, and you probably have main deck Metallic Rebuke, which I was right on both of those. That's, you know, nature of the game. People are going to play with what they have and what they think is right. And in my case, when you play combo like I do, you're going to get caught by some just wild crap.
Yeah.
Especially when you're down there at those lower tables.
Now, speaking of combos, though, we did run into a very interesting combo that I know you wanted to talk about, Jerry.
Absolutely.
In fact, one of our guys ended up playing against this, correct?
Yes, he did. This is wild. Like, that this deck performed as well as it did, and for what it is, it's not the typical shell you would think of the deck.
Yeah. Now we didn't play against the guy that we're about to bring up, but there were a couple of them that were piloting this deck.
Yes. So this is Asmo Food with a combo out. And instead of playing in a Golgari shell with your usual suspects like Gilded Goose, Fenalia Devastation, and Trail of Crumbs, and Feasting Troll King, he goes into a Dimir version where he's playing Ledger Shredder, Emry Lurker of the Lock, Unearth, Academy Manufactor, getting that in a minute, and Time Sieve. So Time Sieve, for those who are wondering, is a blue and black artifact from Alara Reborn. You tap and sacrifice five artifacts, colon, take an extra turn after this one. And then Academy Manufactor. It's a three mana for an artifact creature assembly worker, one power, three toughness. If you would create a clue, food, or treasure, instead create one of each. So with a one of the ways that this deck wins is that it can go infinite turns with two copies of Cookbook, an Oval Chase Daredevil, and an Academy Manufactor. You can make six artifacts, sack five of them for the extra turn, and you can just keep doing that every turn.
Wow.
So that's your infinite turns. The other way it wins is that it has a very reasonable beatdown plan. It's using Academy Manufacturer and Ledger Shredder. So Manufacturer is great alongside your copies of Urza Saga, because it's going to make those constructs freaking huge. Especially if you get just one activation, that's five artifacts on the field before the construct even hits the field. So big constructs, and yeah. Then Ledger Shredder. You're playing a deck with a lot of zero and one drops. It's pretty easy to cast two spells in a given turn.
Yep.
So who'd have thought that your best bet, your best threat in a food deck would be Ledger Shredder? But here we are.
Yeah, no, it's pretty incredible. And the highest placing one was 40th place.
By Greg Pino.
That is correct. But I know we had, I played up against an Esper combo, V Chitwood, or they weren't completely on like this build, I don't think. But there was some combo aspects to it. Thankfully, Scapeshift.
No, they're almost exactly the same list.
Oh, nice.
The only thing they're different is that Greg is playing copies of Street Wraith.
Okay.
Over like V is playing the full playset of Unearth.
Yeah. Sadly, they didn't get off everything they were trying to do, and Primeval Titan, Valakuts, they did what they do, and that is bolt you continuously.
Right. I guess another thing to note is Gigantha can be a companion in this deck.
Ooh, yeah.
V had Gigantha as the companion.
Yes.
Greg did not. Greg is playing Street Wraith, so Greg yep. cannot.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And then also having the Brazen Bars in the side as well would cancel that out as well for Greg Pino here.
Yep. I still believe Greg Pino's list is probably better. Street Wraith makes your deck smaller.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I would almost say, venture guess and say that Greg should be playing a fourth Street Wraith in this deck list over, I would say, Emery Lurker of the Lock is okay in this deck. You're not exactly breaking games with it. So I would take out the fourth Emery for the fourth Street Wraith.
Gotcha.
But who am I? He finished 40th, and here I am finishing in the back two, in the front of the 200s.
Yeah.
Violent Outburst for the win.
Yeah, rough day for the Cascade decks. All right, so interesting thing here I want to touch on with this Time Sieve deck that some people may not fully understand, and there is some clarification that had to be had at the event. So when your match goes to turns, there are only 5 turns. It does not matter who gets those 5 turns. So if you're on a taking turns list, congrats. You get 5 turns to beat down your opponent.
That's how Greg won in a game 3.
Yeah.
Greg took all the turns and won.
Yep. And his opponent wasn't a big fan of it, but sadly that's the rules, if you will. And it's a good thing for everybody to know going to these events or, you know, just going out and playing that, hey, it's not, okay, the first person gets 3 turns or the second person gets 2 turns. No. There's only 5 turns. And if it's taking turns, Nexus of Fate, whatever it may be, once those 5 turns are gone, that's it. It doesn't matter if you got any of them or not.
Speaking of which, I guess my highlight of the tournament is I did play against the Taking Turns deck, but it wasn't this.
Okay.
It was Grixis Taking Turns.
Ooh.
With Dictate of Kruphix, Part the Water Veil, Time Warp.
Nice.
I beat him very quickly and succinctly in game 1. Like, he just couldn't deal with me just griefing, Street Wraithing, and flipping the deck for a Cascade card. Game 2, he keeps a 1-lander Chalice of the Void, and he's stuck on it forever. So I just played an Odawara, bounced it, and then killed him.
Oh.
He had a Tail's End in his hand that I griefed out. I'm like, Tail's End? That's not even the good one. I'm kidding. It can counter a legendary spell, so I guess it has a text box on it. That's really weird.
Yeah.
But there was one more deck we wanted to talk about.
Oh, yes. Yes.
In 15th place, we had Mono Blue Merfolk.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Good old Merfolk here. And it's for those that don't know the Merfolk list, it is just absolutely incredible. I always say, like, whenever people talk about pet decks, they're always like, oh, yeah, Merfolk. It's like, you cannot discredit Merfolk one bit. There is always an event that it will come up in either top 8, win, or do incredibly well. And
this was the tournament to play Merfolk.
Yeah.
If I was going to play in a room of nothing but Amulet and Yorion, I would play Merfolk.
Yep, because it did well. Turns out when you have Island Walk against these 4-color decks, you're going to do well.
Yep. Turning all their lands into islands also helps. Merfolk Trickster being able to shut off abilities of key creatures on key turns is absolutely huge. The newest bit of technology that I didn't know was a thing, I guess the Merfolk aficionados out there would, but he's playing 4 copies of Glasspool Mimic. It's a 3-mana 0/0 Shapeshifter Rogue from Zendikar Rising. On the back half of it, it's a land that produces blue, enters the battlefield tapped. But you may have it enter the battlefield. It's a copy of a creature you control, except it's a shapeshifter rogue in addition to its other types. So three mana clone. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's the front part for those that are watching. And then that good old sweet land. So doing double duty there. But the best part is it being a clone, so it could come in as a copy of a lord. You're also a vial deck as well. So being able to get creatures coming in on your opponent's turn or whatever it may be, fantastic. Having subtlety in there, again, just wonderful. Turns out there's no concessions you're making to main deck this card. You have all the blue cards ever to evoke it. And same thing with the main deck force and negations. You have a beautiful creature package. You're incredibly aggro. And then you still have the protection spells and the most common features, that being force and negation and subtlety, without making any kind of cuts or trims to the meat of the deck.
Yep. A couple cards from back in the day are just no longer in here, though. Like Curse Catcher is no longer in the deck.
Yeah.
Sad. That was a $20 uncommon back in the day. That was a 1 blue mana, 1/1, sacrifice, counter target non-creature spell unless they pay 1. And that card is just not in the deck anymore.
Nope.
It's been replaced by Tide Shaper, which is also doing double duty by replacing Spreading Seas, in that it turns lands into islands, which is exactly what the deck wants.
Yeah.
The only thing I've seen once in a while is sometimes fish players will just not play Force of Negation main, and they'll just play Chalice of the Void in the main instead.
Okay. Yeah.
Both of those are acceptable lines.
Yeah.
Like if you expect to see a lot of Cascade decks, then that's great. I'm all about it.
Yep. And I mean, their sideboard, 4 Chalice of the Voids, not joking around, 4 counterspells, 3 relics, 2 Hercule's Recall, and 2 Brazen Borrowers.
Yep. This deck is rude.
Yeah.
Very cool. Odawara, Soaring City, obviously 0 concession to playing 1. I think the only thing he should do is cut 1 island and just put the, he needs to put back the Oberoi Palace in the clouds.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just to make me feel bad again. Story time. Back when I played Ad Nauseam, my win rate against Merfolk is I have beaten every Merfolk player in every match of Magic except 1 in 1 match. And he beat me game 3 in the most astounding way I think I'd ever lost. So I went and did the combo, Angel's Grace, Ad Nauseam, put the whole deck in my hand. I go Lightning Storm, hold priority, target him, pitch the lands, do the thing. He has a Vial on 3 and 1 card in hand and an untapped Oberoi Palace in the clouds.
Oh no.
He goes, taps the Vial in response. I'm like, okay. He brings in Kira, Great Glass Spinner. And I'm thinking, okay, who cares?
Hang on second. Hang on. I'm going to pull up all these cards here for you.
Okay, okay. All right,
so he brings in Kira, Great Glass Spinner. Yep.
He pays 1 with Oberoi Palace in the clouds to put it back in his hand.
Okay.
He discards the Oberoi to Lightning Storm to redirect targeting Kira, Great Glass Spinner. Trigger Kira. Counter Lightning Storm.
Oh no.
Best loss ever. I wasn't even mad. I was like, damn, that's cool. No wonder you're the best fish player I've ever played against.
Yeah, because the way Lightning Storm works, for those that don't know, is any player may play this ability, but only if Lightning Storm is on the stack. So they were able to get Kira, Great Glass Spinner in, return Oberoi Palace in the clouds to their hand, and then using that Oberoi, they're able to cause it to go after Kira, Great Glass Spinner.
It's trigger the counter spell effect on Kira.
Yep. And there you go.
I was like, there's no way, I just lost this shit.
That's
good clean magic, the way Richard Garfield intended it.
Right. Whoever that opponent was, they had all of the wrinkles on their brains. No smooth brains there.
None. I'm sitting here with this Pact of Negation in my hand. He's got 1 card, 1 land untapped. I'm like, I got this. I can't lose.
Yeah, you're ready to go.
I've got you dead. Nope, not today.
Not in the least.
I still went top 8 and won that event, so I didn't care.
No, there you go.
It was, you know, hindsight, you know, he played against someone else in round 1 and just got dunked on. So,
yeah.
You know, it's still fish. Occasionally you just get dunked on.
It's true. It happens to the best of us. So, shifting here to the next topic, but before we get into it, again, want to give a big shout out to our sponsor, Deep Dive Games, down in Kingsland, Georgia. For any of your gaming needs, whether it's Dungeons & Dragons or the latest in trading card game apparel, or sorry, products, or board games as well, you can check out Deep Dive Games down in Kingsland, Georgia. And be sure to stop in, say hi to Matt Davis. He is not only one of the greatest friends that I have, but also him and I happened to serve together on board the USS Maryland back in the middle of 20-teens. So definitely check them out. And if they don't have what you need, they can absolutely get it ordered and get it shipped out to you wherever you are in the country. All right. So next topic here, I want to talk a little bit about Pioneer. Because if I've ever been lied to more, it is looking at the metagame breakdown for Pioneer and then playing my first league. Oh my goodness.
What did you play since the world has lied to you? What did you play first?
So I played a mono red aggro list that I've seen floating around on Twitter that has taken down a couple RCQs that has done really well. And I was like, you know what? This is right up my alley. Let's do this.
Is that the Embercleave list?
No, it does not have Embercleave. It's more of a prowess aggro list, if you will.
Oh, it's the Chandra list. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I know that deck very well.
Yep. My first deck I went against had an infinite combo built into it. Wasn't really too sure what was going on, but I know that I was going to die. I believe my second matchup was a Angels Tribal deck.
Okay. Yeah, that deck exists. Green-White Angels with, it's just Collected Company, Angel Cleric Tribal, where yep. He also has a hard lock with Faceless Haven and Book of Exalted Deeds.
Yeah, I didn't see that much. Once they hit 30 life both games, I just quit because, well...
You're losing.
Yep, being mono-red, not going to happen. And then there is another one. I believe this is one of the ones that I beat. They were on a Steamkin, and I was just like straight creature control and doing slow beatdowns, like any good mono red or Baron player knows of. Hey, if they want their creatures, let's beat them down and kill them. But it had Runaway Steamkin. It also had a green creature that whenever a creature enters the battlefield, you gain life. And there's like a couple other things in there. But it was, again, like trying to figure out, like I searched Runaway Steamkin to figure out what the heck my opponent was on. No decent Pioneer deck has done anything with Runaway Steamkin recently. It's a whole bunch of like Penny Dreadful or things like that that had it.
Well, if you lost, if you're down 0-2, there's a reason you're seeing this.
Oh, I know. One of the decks that went infinite, it had the goblin that for a red, you can return it to your hand, and you add two colorless and a red mana.
Oh, okay. Grinning Ingus plus, Grinning Ingus plus Birgi plus
yeah.
Runaway Steamkin.
Yeah.
By the way,
okay,
that's your Runaway Steamkin deck.
That's it, yeah.
You played it twice.
Yep. So,
it twice, bro.
There was that stuff. I mean, thankfully, though, like, the one time when I beat it, Eidolon the Great Revel did a fantastic job of just checking it. They were able to kill two of them. They were not able to kill the third one.
Hey, man, that's what you're about, man. I opened up 4 mountains, 3 Eidolons against this deck. I'm in.
Yep. So, nope. Going to play probably another league tomorrow night or so. Check out some other mono-red lists. And then I'm going to go into some mono-green ramp because if there's anything I really enjoy, it's mono-green big stompy when it comes to any format. I'm kind of sad there's no good Gruul deck because I love Gruul. Whether it's slamming out dragons or just being able to do shenanigans with it.
Wait, you want to play a good Gruul deck that'll wipe people out and they'll be like, "What just happened to me?"
Yes, I'm all about that every time.
All right. It's a Gruul aggro deck.
Ooh.
But it also plays an infinite combo.
Ooh.
And we're all about these things.
It
plays the usual suspects, your Llanowar Elves, your Elvish Mystic.
Okay.
Plays a couple Bone Crusher Giants.
Nice.
Plays Lovestruck Beast.
Ooh.
This one's a bit of a throw-off. It plays a Gnarled Professor from Strixhaven. If you see this deck, if you see this in a red-green shell in Pioneer, you are in danger.
Okay, there we go. Gnarled Professor.
So all right. It's a 5-4 for 4 with, or is it, what was his power and toughness again? 5-4?
Yep. Yep. 5-4 for 2 and 2 green.
Yep. And it has the, has Vigilance and Trample?
Just Trample.
Just Trample. And it has Learn. Search your sideboard for a lesson. There's a few of those. Please, Kiora. The 3-mana Kiora that untaps things. Starts with 7 loyalty, the uncommon from War of the Spark.
Ah, yes.
Some versions play Glorybringer. Some don't, I've seen. But you're playing this Gruul aggro deck. But you also have this combo out where you play this card called Possibility Storm.
Good old Possibility Storm. Coming in straight from Dragon's Maze.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So I'm not going to remember all the text, but I can remember how the card plays out.
Yes.
So I know it's 3 red for an enchantment. So whenever a player casts a spell, they reveal cards from the top of their library until they find a spell that matches that card type. They may cast that card without paying its converted mana cost, put all cards revealed this way onto the bottom of your library in a random order.
Yes.
So what you're trying to do is that you're breaking the adventure mechanic here. You play cards like Lovestruck Beast, maybe Rosethorn Acolyte, I've seen that, and Bonecrusher Giant. The only actual instant you play in the deck is Shared Summon. So let's say you cast a Stomp for 1 and a red with a Possibility Storm up. You're going to flip cards until you reveal this card. It's the only actual instant in your deck. Shared Summon says search your deck for 2 creatures with 2 different names and put them in your hand. As long as one of them is Lovestruck Beast, who cares? You're going to cast Heart's Desire on Lovestruck Beast. That's its adventure spell.
Okay.
You're going to flip cards until you flip the only sorcery in your deck, Enter the Infinite.
Ah, yes. Oh, man.
Enter the Infinite, blue, and 8, sorcery. Draw a number of cards equal to the number of cards in your library, then put a card from your hand back on top of your library. The card you put back is going to be Bora Borogmos Enraged. You're going to pay...
Buddy.
This one has a bunch of text on it. Who cares? The only line that matters is discard a card, deal 3 to any discard a land, deal 3 to any target.
Yep.
You're going to with Boroborgmos and the only card in your deck, you're going to pay 0 mana with a Stone Coil Serpent and cast Boroborgmos for free and then discard all your lands to face roll your opponent.
You know, I'm down for shenanigans and I hate that you talked me into this. This was a deck a while back, right?
One guy in Japan won an event with it pre-COVID. The issue with the deck is that it's always a turn slower than the best combo in the format because Possibility Storm costs 5.
Yes.
So the newest addition to the deck right now is the Tree Folk Professor, Gnarled Professor.
Okay.
Finding a sorcery from your sideboard. So you're going to... There were like 4 different sorceries that you could play that you would learn, grab that sorcery, cast it. And then that would do the thing with the Possibility Storm on the battlefield.
Gotcha.
Other than that, you're an adventure mid-range deck. Or adventure aggro deck, if you will. I'm pretty sure there are, like, compared to the list I played when Pioneer first kicked off, I'm pretty sure there's just better things to be doing in the deck. But at the very least, it's a ramp deck. It does play your 8 mana dorks, because those are requisite to play any type of green-red shell. And it's fun. I love it. You still get to beat face. You know, a lot of games do devolve into beating face.
Yes. No, I'm absolutely all about beating face.
And the important thing that happened to the deck, though, Teferi Time Raveler got banned out of Pioneer. So the deck exists now. Because if a Teferi Time Raveler is on the battlefield, it actually fizzles your ability to combo and you hardlock yourself.
Okay.
So Time Raveler being banned means this doesn't happen. And I don't think Knowledge Pool is even legal in Pioneer, let alone good enough to compete against this, so you don't have to worry about that.
No, not legal. It was before RTR. So
okay. I'm pretty sure it was in New Phyrexia.
Yeah. Yes. Change set. Meridian Besiege, but same block.
I was so close. I mean, I'm in the right block.
Exactly.
Not too terribly off. So I guess the last thing I want to talk about is, what are we doing for the event? Do we want to tell people? Do we want to make it a surprise?
Ooh, we'll make it a surprise. But yes, so we do have 6 teams or 6 players going from the Snapcast, and it's very interesting how we have the team set up, I would say. Because I feel like we've got the Snapcast OG, if you will, Jerry with me, you and Chris. We are part of the Founding 5 when it comes to the Snapcast. Speaking of which, got some sad news. Alex has officially retired, if you will, from Magic the Gathering. So that is now two players that we have lost out of the Founding Five. Bobby was the first one. His last event was the No Ban Modern Open way back when. I think that was 2018, summer of 2018, because I know Robbie was born. And then, NRG Chicago, sadly, was Alex's last event. He sold all of his cards.
The writing was on the wall with him there. He enjoyed his time in Standard with the Mono Blue deck. He enjoyed the Mono Blue Pioneer deck, but he is just like most of us. We are men with lives, and he is ready to move on. He had fun with his very janky green deck that he outperformed me with, so...
Yeah, no, it was great. His Mono Green list was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, it's just, it's always a shame to see, like, one of your best friends quit from Magic. Actually, Jerry, both you and I, we met Alex through Magic the Gathering, and that was, about 8 years ago, I would say.
Yep.
And, it's more. It was about 9 years ago for me, because it was at the Virginia Beach Classic where I first met Alex, and just having him as a friend is absolutely fantastic. And then, we met you at Atomic Comics here on Mercury Boulevard. And we continue to just build that friendship. And again, here we are almost 10 years later, I would say, incredibly tight-knit group of friends. And that's what I like about the game more than anything else, is the friends that you make playing it.
I could lose every round, and as long as I have my best friends to bitch at with, I don't care. I'm happy.
Yeah, no, 100%. I am with you on that. And that's like kind of like how the weekend was too, right? Like I started off 2-0, but then I went 0-4. But it was just the fact that we were hanging out together. Jerry, you had a very rough start. I think you started off, 0-3?
Oh, yeah. I went 0-3, won the next two, thinking I was going to, pop into that X-3, and then I died the next two rounds to that blue-white affinity list and hardened scales.
Yeah, so I mean, it sucks when it happens, but I think the biggest thing that really helps us out is just we remember it's a game and we're more so there to see each other than we are to just go and try to win. If we win, that's great. If not, I mean, we went and had Korean barbecue. We had some amazing dumplings on Sunday then. Like the food was great. The camaraderie was awesome. And the Magic could have been better. Okay, so anyway, so back to, I would say, our teams now. So, right, we have the OG Snapcast members on Team 1, and then Team Alpha, so that way there were both, like, Team 1s, if you will. There is no, like, primary, secondary, whatnot. We have the newcomers, and that being Tyler and John and Sean are going to be those ones. Tyler's going to be sitting Legacy, Sean's going to be riding Pioneer, and John is going to be in the modern seat. I think that's what we got going so far. Things may change depending on whether or not we have a friend of ours from Washington State come out. His name is Rich. If he comes out, he's going to then take the Pioneer spot on team newcomers team. And John is going to play side events, and Sean's going to play modern. Rich is one of these guys that if you give him Phoenix and Pioneer, he's going to do outstanding. I got to witness it. The guy had zero sleep. We went to a Cool Stuff Tampa team event, and Rich went undefeated. No sleep, just got the deck. I was like, oh, okay, I think I know what I'm doing here. And just rolled. And talking with Tyler, that's just how Rich is. Rich is one of those guys that can pick up Phoenix and run with it. So hoping for some of the same magic, if you will, out of Rich, if he's able to make it, but he will be coming from Washington State. So it's a little bit more logistics for him to figure out. I think that's going to do it for us today. Jerry, you got anything else for our listeners?
No, sir. I do not.
All right. Well, thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. Please be sure to check us out on YouTube as well as all of your major podcasting outlets. Follow us on the social medias. Look for Team Snapcast and that wonderful P logo like you see over there. We go right there and on Jerry's shirt. We are the only Snapcast podcast still around now. There was a previous one before. But they have since quit, and we are now trademarked. So if you guys discover another Snapcast podcast out there, that talks about Magic the Gathering, please let us know, because I have some friends that would like to write some very angry lawyer letters. But that's going to do it for us tonight. Y'all have a fantastic evening, and we will see y'all next time.
Oh, snap.